Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
We are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to Wretched Marriage. Is what brings us together today. We tried to find somebody qualified who's maybe written a bunch of books, but we've got Dr. Lou Priolo. Hi, Lou.
Hi.
Could you write more books on marriage and dating? This is like the encyclopedia of marriage. How many books have you written on the subject?
I don't know.
There's more than this, because I went through your file of things. Why do you spend so much time on marriage, dating, and divorce?
Because half of what I biblical counselors usually do, and it's not because we advertise this way, but in one way or another, half of what we do is marriage counseling. People come in, and maybe another 20% is parent-child relationship, in-law relationship. So, you know, 65, 70% of what we do typically involves marriage. And then if you add premarital counseling to that, then that's even more.
Well, it's kind of a big deal. Yeah. And it seems that no matter how much you try to prepare somebody for marriage, they do not understand the realities of it until they're in there.
Well, and what a good counselor will do as he's doing premarital. Well, you kind of got to put your fingers underneath the fleece of each sheep and look for the bugs and the scabs, you know, and the sores, and figure out where the problem might be when they get married. And then in premarital counseling, okay, Todd, so you've been married for 6 months, you come home and your wife says to you, what are you going to do? And to kind of figure out what their weaknesses are and then prepare them. The Heart of the Righteous studies how to answer, to sort of prepare them ahead of time how to handle a conflict that you're pretty sure they're going to hit. And then the funny thing is, well, maybe it's not funny for them, but it's like time and time again, I'll say to them, now you remember we talked about this in premarital counseling, but I forgot what you said, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, part of the basis of premarital counseling is to help both of them see their strengths, their weaknesses, and then to instruct them in biblical techniques and methods and teaching, whatever, on how to deal with the problems.
It is a school of character, and a lot of people are getting very low marks because they don't understand what the institution is.
Well, marriage doesn't create problems as much as it reveals problems.
Them. Right.
It just kind of brings to the surface all that.
It's a vice, and it's like living with this other sinner underneath this roof.
Right.
It reveals a ton, which is why I would like to embark on our conversation about marriage and dating, and I like it if you say it that way every time.
Marriage?
By talking about the danger signs of an unhealthy relationship. We're talking dating here. By the way, let's just see if we've got agreement on this. Are you a dating proponent or a courting proponent?
The concept of dating is not really a biblical concept. It's not unbiblical, so I don't have a problem with dating at all. And there's been so much baggage associated with the courting word that I guess at this moment, I would prefer dating. But
really?
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly care what you call
right,
it.
Right.
As long as it just seems to me, figure out if this person is this before you start to link your heart. Because as soon as you start to join together, well, then you get very cloudy judgment and you overlook a lot of glaring deficiencies or danger signs, as it says in this book from, well, there's your name, Lou Priolo, right there. I would like to give you some of the danger signs. Explain what you do in this book.
So the book basically is a list of, I think, 25 issues that we look for. 25 warning signs that a couple would want to identify before they get married so that they can get some help in, first of all, identifying if the danger signs is really valid. I mean, is it once in a blue moon kind of a thing, or is it something that happens on a regular, repeated basis? And if it is, then they get the counselor or the pastor to give instruction on how to help the person, the couple, biblically deal with those warning signs.
And it's also helpful to know up front, okay, this is going to be an area of struggle for my spouse. And it keeps you from being shocked when it happens, hopefully.
Yes.
So here are your 25 danger signs that you might want to think about not moving forward. How many of these do I need to
have a biffed on? You know, again, this is not a scientifically normed instrument, but what I basically say in the beginning of the book, depending on what it is, if you have one or two or even three, don't be alarmed. The more you have above three, the more you ought to be concerned that you get help addressing it, because generally speaking, the greater the likelihood that these things are going to come up. It's really a pre-engagement book. I mean, ideally, you read the book before you get engaged. You sit down with someone, let someone help you verify the validity of each issue and then give you biblical instruction on how to address the issues that one or both. So you read the book with your fiance or with your girlfriend, your boyfriend.
With the woman you're courting.
There you go. And you do it together, you do it individually, but you basically, if it's something in your life, you check it off. If it's something in your friend's life, you check it off. So we pretty much want you to evaluate yourself and your partner and then bring that into the counselor to help, so that counselor
Sort through it and get on it. All right, here we go. Number one, persistent doubts about the relationship.
Yeah, this is one of the most common issues that people have. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a problem. I mean, it could be that your doubts are the result of anxiety. You're a worrier, and so you're going to have doubts about everything, especially the most important decision you make in marriage is, for Christian, the second most important decision you're usually going to make in your life after following Christ. And so you're going to worry about making a mistake if you tend to be anxiety ridden. It could be that the Holy Spirit really is trying to put his finger on something and you need to go back to scripture and verify, is this really an issue? And what does the Bible say about it? Do I have good reason to have an uneasy feeling or to push the pause button on the relationship? It could be the linguine that you had for lunch that didn't sit well with you. That could be, you know, that could be something organic that may be contributing, exacerbating the doubt that you have. So you just want to evaluate the cause of the doubt, if at all possible. And again, put it under the microscope of scripture. Is there a biblical reason I should be concerned about this, or is this not a biblical issue?
It's funny you kind of flesh this out a bit, because haven't we all seen the movies, the father's about to walk the daughter down there? If you've got any second thoughts about this, let's just maybe explore it a little deeper than just right before you walk out of the church. A contentious spirit.
The Bible talks both about a contentious woman and a contentious man. And so some people are just hot-headed. They are just sort of prone to get into conflict with other people. There are a lot of proverbs that utilize two or three Hebrew words that have to do with strife. This is the kind of person where you can't be in his or her presence for too long of a period of time before a conflict is going to break out. So if someone has a lot of conflicts, is constantly picking a fight, who has the mindset of a lawyer, just admit that you're wrong and I'm right and the conflict will be over, rather than that of a resolver, then that's a danger sign you're going to want to examine.
Yeah, this is another one too that I think your preamble is important. Who doesn't ever get contentious? There isn't anybody besides Jesus who doesn't have the ability to lose it, but this is a persistent pattern.
It's interesting, in the Bible, when a person gives himself over to a particular sin, sooner or later that sin sort of takes over his personality, and God categorizes him by the name of the sin that's overtaken him. So we all make foolish decisions, but hopefully we're not all fools. We all get angry, but we're not all angry men. We're not all angry.
Right.
You know, we all have told lies, but we're not all liars. We all have contentious moments. But if our life is characterized by contention after contention after contention, then we are categorized as a contentious man, a contentious woman.
Dr. Priolo, your book on danger signs, things that you should look out for. I got to tell you, this list that you've got, super helpful. But you know what I think people need as they even work through this? They need somebody to go through it with them.
That's the purpose.
Yeah, you just have to because, oh, but he's dreamy. Okay, so he beats up his little brother all the time, but he'll never do that to... That's what this book is about. So you list 25 different danger signs. Let me give you one. Avoidance of certain issues or topics of discussion.
A lot of times when after a couple gets married, they get married thinking, hey, we can talk about anything. And the communication lines are open pretty well. But then they have a conflict, doesn't go well. And so one person says, well, I guess we can't talk about that subject. They must say they lop that topic off. And they'll rock along for a little bit longer and they'll have another conflict. And maybe the other person says, well, I guess we can't talk about that anymore. And so little by little, as time goes on, right, they're lopping off all the potential topics that a husband and wife really ought to talk to. And then, you know, 5-10 years down the road, they're like this.
Nothing.
Right. Communication is so important in marriage.
We will continue with the danger signs of dating with Dr. Lou Priolo next on Wretched.
You ever had a question that you weren't sure your small group could handle? Like, what does the Bible actually say about mental health? How do you comfort someone who just lost a spouse? Or what does biblical manhood look like for a 20-something who's never seen and modeled? These aren't easy topics, but they're the exact topics our Fortis forums tackle. We've got Dr. Greg Gifford on psychology versus scripture. Dr. Adam Tyson walks guys through what it means to be a man after God's own heart. Libby Glosson and Martha Peace on what joy-filled marriage actually looks like. And Dr. John Grotz on moving theology from your head to your heart. And all of these Fortis forums are available right now on Fortis Plus for free on your phone, your tablet, and even your TV. These are real conversations on real issues with people who actually know their Bibles. So you can go and download the Fortis Plus app right now on wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus the Masters University isn't woke. And it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense of a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1536. John Calvin publishes The Institutes of the Christian Religion, the most substantial theological work of the Reformation. Calvin's ideas would deeply influence church and politics in Switzerland and Scotland and take root in the newly discovered North America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched. How do you know if that chick or dude is Mr. or Ms. Right. This little book gonna help you. Danger signs you do well to consider before you say, I do. Dr. Priola, we're making our way through the 25. There's probably more, but these are the biggies. From your experience in counseling, how many couples that were struggling in marriage?
I have no idea.
More than 10?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for 36 years. And
36 years. And how many hours have you spent counseling people?
At least 34,000, 35,000 real-time hours. Yeah.
Have you seen anything new, or is it pretty much like...
Oh, every once in a while. I mean, it's nothing new under the sun, but I mean, sometimes it's a different flavor on something I've seen before, yeah.
Yeah. And do those kind of make you go, oh, well, this is...
Depends.
Different.
Sometimes yes, sometimes it's like,
no.
I've got to pick up the phone and call some of my friends. They're like, I'm not sure how to proceed from
preempting problems, knowing about problems, overcoming problems before you commit to one another. It's so wise. Here's the list of danger signs. Increased physical intimacy. Why should a boy or girl be concerned about that?
Because as Christians who are supposed to flee from fornication and sexual sin, the damage that is done during premarital sex can go deep into the marriage. I mean, that's one reason. I mean, just on the surface, the Bible says that we should avoid fornication. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says that every man, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lusts of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles who do not know God. And that phrase, possess your vessel, it's either talking about one of two things. It's either talking about possess your body, or it's talking about possess your vessel in the sense of acquiring a wife, acquiring her husband, which is the way I believe it was intended to be understood when you look at the whole context. But nevertheless, there's a pure way that you are supposed to go about trying to find a husband, trying to find a wife. And when you do things that violate God's standards, it hurts you, it hurts the other person, it sows seeds of distrust.
It shows they don't honor you as much as they should, whichever way it goes. Because
often,
these
yes.
days, I hear women are sometimes just as aggressive as men regarding physical intimacy. I once heard a biblical counselor say that regularly when he's counseling somebody who's married, he'll go back before they got married to ask thoughtfully without details, because you never get into salacious details in biblical counseling. Let's talk about that relationship. And inevitably, there was something that should not have happened prior to marriage that has been brought right into the present day.
And if it happens, then the couple needs to, and it does happen, but the couple needs to confess, needs to find other people to hold them accountable. And if they can turn it around before marriage, that will help to rebuild some of the trust that was lost as a result of their not following God's standard.
Mm-hmm. Explain to a man who was married today, who was too physically intimate with his fiance or girlfriend at the time, what has he done to damage her that he should then address now?
He's lost the trust. If he hasn't done it up to this point, I mean, both husband and wife should have, ideally, before they got married, dealt with that, repent of that, ask each other's forgiveness, sought accountability. But what you do is you destroy trust, but it's a little bit beyond that. It's selfish, right, to violate the other person, to do what the Bible says, to put your own desires ahead of that, which is your spouse. The mother of all sins is selfishness. After you get married, you're going to continue to be selfish. And if you don't deal with the past the right way, it's going to be easy for your partner, every time you manifest the smallest sin of selfishness, it's going to be easy for that person, if she's not forgiven you, to go back and to attach the resentment, the distrust over the former acts of selfishness with the smaller acts of selfishness. It just really creates an environment, not always, but often it creates an environment where it brings back feelings of distrust and also a sense of hurt because he was selfish then, he's selfish now.
Wait, okay, which is why you go through this in the beginning, because somebody could be tempted to say, well, you know, he kind of would like to do it, but I'm going to just hold him up. Then when we get married, that won't be an issue. Well, that may or may not be an issue, but the selfishness, the lack of honor, that ain't going away.
I mean, who's not selfish in marriage, right?
Yeah. So, danger, Will Robinson.
Right.
Avoidance of certain issues or topics of discussion. Are they trying to hide something? Is that your angle?
There are a number of reasons why that may happen, but the most important thing is to realize that a husband and wife have a responsibility to talk about certain things. And if a conflict is not handled the right way, there's going to be a tendency to just simply, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. As time goes on, the scope, the range of things they can talk about becomes shorter and shorter, and then bitterness creeps in, and before too long, they're like this. So it's really important to keep your accounts short and to not refuse to talk about an issue that your partner has a biblical need or biblical right for you to talk about. And, yeah. And this is probably especially true of men. As I understand biblical masculinity, God made man to be the initiator and woman to be the responder. Not that women can't initiate and men can't respond, but I mean, it's especially important for us as men, Christian men, to take the initiative to talk about things, knowing that it could very well spark a conflict. But like I'll say to some of my men sometimes, would you rather be in your wife's doghouse or in God's doghouse? Would you rather have your wife not talk to you for a few hours or a few days or go for a few hours or a few days knowing that you're not pleasing God by not doing the loving thing and talking to your wife about whatever it happens to be?
And doing that is an art that needs to be cultivated wisely. Dr. Priolo, I suspect younger people who might make their way through your danger sign list before you get married might go, not going to do that one. Strong opposition from family and friends.
Yeah. A lot of times, close friends and family members are opposed to the relationship, opposed to the marriage. And it's really important not to ignore that. Typically, what you want to do is find out what's behind their reasons. What are the reasons you have concerns about the relationship? And if the concerns are biblically valid, then you need to push the pause button or at least work on them. If the reasons are not valid, then maybe there's room for you to just be mindful of that and go forward. But you have to get behind the reasons and determine, are there biblical reasons?
Mm-hmm.
If there are, you need to address them.
Yeah. But the key was what you said. You didn't say you've got to listen, and you certainly didn't say ignore it totally. You said you're wise to consider it because these are the people who know you best.
Right.
Now, there certainly can be times when parents or siblings, whatever, nobody's good enough for my child. There could be bad things behind it. So you're right. Figure out why and then listen for the validity biblically.
Right. That's right.
But that's crucial. And
it is. And again, even with parents who maybe don't have a biblically valid reason, I think you have to be patient. I think you have to, you know, be willing. If you're the person whose future in-laws are, you know, have indigestion about you, then you need to be willing to address those things and be patient with them and give them a chance to see that the things that they're saying themselves about you are not true.
Okay, I'm going to burn through these for a reason.
Okay.
Time being one of them. Okay, lack of spiritual harmony, pride, anger, impatience, intolerance, selfishness, inability to resolve conflicts, lack of compassion, disrespect or contempt, you see bitterness, etc. Okay, the list goes on. I think the inclination of many people, especially younger folks, is to be like, this isn't that big of a deal. Or once we get married, he or she will stop acting like that. What would you say to that person?
A wise man sees the evil and hides himself, but the foolish proceed and suffer the consequences. There are no guarantees that the person who has his presumably has his best foot forward now is going to change. And again, in before you get married, in the engagement period, even the pre-engagement period, it's an opportunity to test whether or not the couple can together with God's word solve these problems. Mm-hmm. And again, okay, so there are six problems that I can't marry him until all six. No, but you know, you take two or three of those problems and see if there's an ability to solve those problems, resolve those conflicts biblically. If there are, then you can be more optimistic about the future. But if there's not an ability to resolve those conflicts, then it makes sense to slow down, push the pause button.
We will continue with Dr. Lou Priolo next on Wretched.